I kept a file for this day. All the things I wanted to tell Highland Park, but I'm going to wait till my last Sunday. I'm just kidding. That's not it at all. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for your graciousness and for your just ministry in our lives over the years. Certainly, pastoral ministry is focused, in a sense, on giving. But there's also a huge part of pastoral ministry that's receiving and receiving the opportunity of being able to minister and to see the faithfulness of God's people here through the years is a blessing. Sometimes, again, if you just stay for a short while, you just get parts of people's lives. But here we've had the opportunity to see the full breadth of people's lives and the strength of their commitment to Christ, and such an encouragement that is as we go to continue on with the commitment of God in our lives. I just want to say at the front end that one of the realities of this day of farewell is that we are in a very unusual time in our country and in our world. And I just want to say that the issue of masks and social distancing and plenty of disinfectant needs to be a part of even our farewell. So whether you're watching online and you get to see me, but I don't get to see you, and many of you, we're not going to have like a big crowd scene because that's not conducive to the realities of today. And it will feel maybe at times a little impersonal. I know for us, it's like, well, we'd like to shake hands and hug as many of you as possible. But in these days, we're going to have to accept the reality together that what may seem impersonal is hopefully, Lord willing, as significant and meaningful as if we had personal conversations with each and every one of you. So I say that at the front end because, again, just want to be sensitive to that for all of us' sake. I'd like for us to turn our attention this morning to one of the most often quoted portions in all of Scripture. Since the days of Moses through the days of the wilderness wanderings, right on through today. On many occasions, as God's people gather, it's most often used as the very last thing said, right before the much anticipated, "You're dismissed." Sometimes a worship gathering, maybe a wedding, maybe a funeral, maybe a special dedication, an occasion to celebrate or a gathering to support one another during times of crisis, this scripture is often recited as the benediction. I like the reference that I found to this particular passage throughout these last couple of weeks. It's an anticipatory benediction. So our time in the Word this morning is appropriate that it's a benediction. It's an order, but also with a strong sense of anticipation, not only for us, but also for you as a church family, as we look ahead to this next season of our lives. We're going to look at Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 27. It'll be projected on the screen in just a few minutes, or you can find it certainly at your seat. But instead of reading this as a benediction and then dismissing, no, we're not going to do that. I'd like for us to pause and reflect upon the fullness and the significance and the challenge of this empowering blessing. It can often be recited almost without thoughtful consideration. We're just mostly thinking about what's for lunch. Each one of us, in one way or another, has experienced significant times of transition and change. And when that happens, it provides for us those unique opportunities in life to reflect upon what's gone before, to celebrate God's provisions, to rehearse His blessings, and some of those blessings include lessons that we've learned, maybe the hard way, hopefully some wisdom that we've gained in the times of struggle and difficulty, and then to consider the next season of the journey. After our 45 years in local church ministry, now Sharon and I have been married for 44 years, so how'd you come up with 45? Well, I was involved a year before we got married. And so 45 years in local church ministry since graduation from Moody Bible Institute, this is certainly a time of reflective benediction for us in terms of kind of the sense of our lives. And yet, it's also a strong sense of anticipation, not just for us, but for all who continue to anticipate the awesome blessings of the Lord and His gracious work in our lives. He's going to continue to do that in our lives and in the life of His church. What's going on in Numbers chapter 6 that gives a sense of context for this benediction? which is really our word for it. It really was never the Old Testament context for it. You see, God's people, Israel, had been dramatically rescued from slavery in Egypt. Most of us are familiar with that story. God's rescue, his redemption, had involved a host of miracles and provisions from the Lord. The final plague convinced Pharaoh it was time to let people go. The parting of the Red Sea, the supernatural provision of water and bread and meat, the strong and faithful leadership of Moses, that grand dramatic provision of God, of the law of God there on Mount Sinai. And now it was time for God's people to move on through the wilderness, ultimately to the land of promise. It was at the inauguration of that journey from Mount Sinai, God instructed Moses to tell Aaron and his sons to pronounce this blessing upon them as they make their way across the wilderness. Now, I'm not convinced that this was ever meant as a resuscitation to end the gathering of God's people. Rather, this was a personal and corporate affirmation that would remain, that they could remain confident with every single day of their wilderness journey. So in other words, they would rise up every day, and I'm not saying they did, I'm saying they could with this kind of a passage, this kind of revelation from the Lord. They could rise up every day realizing that the Lord desired to bless them. And here's how he will bless, specifically how he will do that. To receive the fullness of his blessing, it was essential, part of the covenant was, that they would keep their end of the deal of obedience and willingness to obey God. But like with us today, this promise of blessing was to encourage them along the arduous journey of the wilderness, to affirm his heart for them during times of struggle, to be the theme for joyful occasions, to be confrontive in times of sin. Remember what God said? He would bless us if... to be a motivation for living each new day with a comforting assurance of his blessing. You see, the Lord wanted his people to know about his passion for them, and in light of that, to live obediently and to live accordingly, the same passion and desire that the Lord has for us today. So number 6, verses 22 through 27, read like this. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, here is how you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Now, verses 24 through 26, I want us to focus on particularly. Worth noting in these verses is a couple of key words or oft-repeated words that is important. First of all, the Lord God. The Lord God, Yahweh, the I am, the one and only true God, the self-existent, covenant-keeping, eternal God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is what is clear. This Lord God is taking the initiative, wanting his people to know that he is the one who is responsible for blessing. He is the one for responsible for blessing them. He is the one responsible for blessing us. So still, it's just important to understand that any and all blessings that come our way are initiated from the Lord. Say to them, Aaron and sons, the Lord bless you. Say to them, I, the Lord, will bless you. Verses 24 and 27 in both places. So just a note regarding blessings. All that we have, all that we are, all that we've become, all that we contribute to the lives of others, all that others have contributed to our lives, is to be understood as initiated from the Lord. So today we gather, and frankly for Sharon and I, we acknowledge that many of you have blessed our lives. And we thank you, and we praise the Lord for that. By the same token, if we have had any part in blessing, encouraging, strengthening your life in Christ, it's been an honor to be a servant among you, but please praise and thank the Lord. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Another key word that you see is bless. How many times in this one expression was this word bless used? And we think of blessing. Certainly it's right and appropriate that we think of the Lord's provisions and the meeting of our needs and freely giving us gifts that emanate from his goodness and his graciousness. Certainly appropriate. But when you look closely at the word bless, The word bless is the word adore. In fact, in its fullness, the word is adore on bended knee. Isn't that an unusual word? I thought it was usually flipped. I thought usually, and it is true, that the scripture encourages us to bless the Lord, O my soul, and not forget any of his benefits. He is worthy of worship. If certainly this idea of bended knee and worship is certainly right and appropriate to express our worship to the Lord, who is the one that we are to adore. But here, the Lord uses the word adore. He loves us. It's not that it's an obligation to bless us. He wants to provide for us because he adores us. And how does he do that? How does he do that? Well, there's four specific ways that we'll see in our text. See, the Lord's blessing is not just what he does and what he gives and what he provides, which is far more than we deserve. It's his heart and his passion toward us. Now, the Lord's blessing, adoration of us, mean no hardships or no struggles? Well, we're all here to give testimony to the fact that that's not true. Many times we struggle. And it doesn't feel at all like blessing. But if, in fact, he does adore us and love us, out of his love and his desire to bless us more fully, he brings struggle into our lives to grow and mature us as his children. We call those are blessings in disguise, right? On some occasions, he allows struggle to show us where we're falling short and maybe even where we're rebelliously disobedient. Again, that was certainly true of God's people, and it's certainly true today. The third key word I'd like us to see in this text and in these verses is the word you. The word you. Notice it's not y'all. It's six times you. It's singular you. It's highly personal, individual you. So here's what, again, this blessing from the Lord is this. He says he desires to bless you, to keep you, to shine upon you, to be gracious to you, to notice you, to give peace to you, to let you, verse 27, wear his name tag. Wow. Now this blessing is expressed and has a definite communal application. The people of Israel, say to them, the people, my name will be upon them as a people. I will bless them as a people. But the application is based on the individual blessing to each and every one who bears his name. Individually, we are his servant. We are his new creation in Christ. The New Testament talks to us about. Together, we are his body, his bride, his followers. But it's important that we take this aspect of blessing personally and then experience it in its fullness as it's lived out in community. So with that, what are the four notable ways that the Lord wants his people to be aware and assured of his blessing? Number one. The Lord blesses you by keeping you. The Lord bless you and keep you sheltered, safe, secure in him, in good times, in struggles, in positive and negative circumstances, like arms of security wrapped around you and guarding and protecting, enough for every day. For the people of God, it was manna for every morning and meat for every evening, providing that ongoing opportunity that the Lord could remind them, I'm keeping you, I'm providing for you, I'm meeting every need that you have, I'm keeping my promise to you. So I just took a minute just to kind of write out a few things. Because he adores and because he desires to bless and keep us, here's just a few things. He keeps his promises to us for a hope-filled future. He keeps us secure in our faith. There's never a need for doubt. He keeps us fruitful when we invest our lives in others. He keeps us strong in times of personal weakness. He keeps us encouraged and growing as we dwell on his word and spend time in prayer. He keeps us equipped for times of spiritual battle. He keeps us assured during times of loss and struggle. And it could go on and on. His keeping of us. He adores us. He blesses us with his keeping power. Over the years of ministry, God has given to us the blessed opportunity to see this keeping power actually work. God's faithfulness to his people as they experience some of life's most difficult circumstances and crushing struggles. and to see many that will work through that in response of the strongest of faith, trusting in the keeping power of our sovereign Lord. Numerous occasions, the reality of keeping power of the Lord was on display as his dear saints faced the reality of death with a secure faith and a hope-filled future. Over the years, there have been times that the Lord has brought our life into a place where we had to renew and rely in a unique way on the keeping power of the Lord. There were times when I found myself discouraged and losing heart for ministry. There were even times where I questioned my pastoral calling. But I look back at those times, and I see the keeping desire of the Lord at work. I'm grateful that the Word of God provided many refreshed reminders of my need to trust in this sovereign Lord to fulfill His plans and purposes for my life. I went back often to my time of ordination and where, again, I committed to this group of counsel that I really believe that the call of God in my life was for ministry in the local church. And so, again, out of that commitment also just kind of kept me going through some of those times. Certainly my loving family and supportive fellow believers who provided that consistent encouragement during those times, all being used by God as reminders of His keeping power. The Lord will keep us. He desires to bless us by keeping us. Secondly, the Lord blesses by graciously revealing Himself. Graciously revealing Himself. Make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The image here is of the Lord God's face shining. Symbolic in Scripture is His loving presence now shining as a light for people to see firsthand. See, in real time, God's people were to journey through the land of promise. And along with the receiving of the law of God was His instructions for sacrifices and feasts and worship in the tabernacle. The light of His plans and purposes for His people was now on full display, shining for all to see. You see, up to this time, where did God's people go for the light of the Lord God? He went to Moses, and Moses went to Moses experienced the burning bush. Moses went up to the Mount Sinai and alone experienced the very real presence of God. No longer did that revelation of the Lord have to come through a leader like Moses, whereby God revealed Himself, but now He's made His will known. The Lord God now desired to reveal Himself and His desires, shining His light so all could see, and knowing full well that what light often does is helps us to see what is hidden in the dark. And then to exercise His loving, forgiving, enduring grace that was offered every time there was failure or disobedience. You see, the Lord blesses with His presence, but He blesses graciously. The light that was shown was not to show up areas the darkness was hiding, but to reveal His light and to draw people by His grace to live in accordance with that light, His plan and His purposes. Over and over, the Lord God revealed Himself to His people, making it clear the path of obedience, and then the reality of His grace that would make it possible to be forgiven of sin and to have that new and refreshed start. It's the Lord God's desire to be gracious to us. Talk about blessing. Each of us have stories of God's amazing grace in our lives. If we had the time, we had the opportunity, we could all share about the ways that God has provided for us what it is we don't deserve. As I thought about that, even in my own life, and kind of again in this season to share, I'm reminded of a number of things. I'm reminded of the fact that both Sharon and I had the privilege of growing up in homes that Christ was honored, Christ was glorified, and that our parents, believers, and desired for their kids nothing more but for them to know Jesus and to love Jesus and come to faith in Christ. Amazing grace. For God to give me the opportunity to meet Sharon in our first year as students at Moody Bible Institute. And then last August, every time this comes around, we go, wow, can you believe that? 44 years of marriage. And I'm just so grateful for the amazing wife that God has given to me. And she's an amazing mom. Her favorite titles are Mom and Nana. We're here this morning to be thankful for the grace of God and the evidence of the lives of our children and their families, who they too love Jesus and desire to bring up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And again, we don't take that for granted. We are overwhelmed by His grace. We can affirm with confidence that it was the grace of the Lord for every step of our life and ministry journey that God has led us to invest our lives and our gifts into serving His church over these years. We give thanks to Him for that. It's because of His grace that we've had the opportunity to work alongside some amazing ministry leaders and teams to encourage, enable, participate with them in ministry as fellow members of the body of Christ. And again, for 30 of those years, that's been invested here amongst this congregation. It's by His grace, having the opportunity to teach consistently God's word, as has already been mentioned. I'm so grateful for those opportunities. It's by His grace that we've seen God work. We've seen lives changed. Ministries developed, sustained, relationships strengthened, God's people mobilized, energized for using their gifts for ministry. And we just stand back and we just say it's only by His grace that He uses people like you and people like me to accomplish His kingdom purposes in the world. His presence, His grace. The Lord blesses us by graciously revealing Himself. The Lord blesses us by giving you peace and me peace. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. You see, the image is kind of enhanced from the previous line. The image is not just of the Lord's face shining so that now God's people can actually see His through His presence and through His revealed law and what it is He desired. They could actually see Him and kind of make the relationship with Him more personal because they see and experience His light. But now the image shifts a bit to where the Lord God lifts His face and allows His light to shine specifically on you and on me and giving us peace. The Lord's blessing of His presence directed and looking specifically at you and I. Think about this image. I see you. I know you're there. You're not alone. I'm here. I'm in control. You can settle down now. Have my peace. When our kids were in performances or playing sports, we made an effort to try to be at those particular times, as parents do, and rightly so. And as we did, we would always find a place we'd shift enough to be able to see not just the performance, not just the game. We wanted to see what? Our kids. And so we'd shift and we'd make sure, and the parents would kind of be crazy, try to engage conversation, and we're just kind of going, I'm watching the game. We're watching our kids. And hopefully there were times that they looked back and saw that we were actually doing that. But the bottom line, that's the picture. Any scary or unnerving situation, the calm that comes through a grasped hand, a familiar voice, someone who will walk with you through that valley or that struggle or that fear. How many of us need His peace today? Wow. Whether it's personal or political or relational or circumstantial craziness that's going on, it's like things are coming apart. The Lord God desires to calm us down with His presence and His focus directed at you. Be at peace. How many times have we opened the Word of God, spent time in dependent prayer, maybe came to church or tuned in for a worship setting like this and spent time with confident, trusting fellow believers and personally experienced the presence of the Lord and walked away from those occurrences and said, I really needed that because I needed His peace. The Lord sees you. He sits up. He leans in. He knows about your circumstances. He intervenes. He gives you peace. He adores you. He wants you to be blessed with not simply seeing His presence, but knowing that His presence is seeing you. The Lord blesses us by giving us His name. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. We're here today on this side of the cross as followers of Jesus, but our core of our identity is that we are in Christ. It's who we are. And as such, we bear His name. We're His servants, we're His children, we're His family, we're part of His body. We have the privilege and the opportunity to wear His name tag. Not just kind of all of us, not so others would see us, but that they would see Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, go back historically to it was God's passion for his people not to just see themselves as sons of Abraham, which was significant, but that they would see themselves, as the scripture records, as the people of God, as a treasured possession, as a holy nation, as a kingdom of priests. That was the tag they were to wear. The psalmist in Psalm 67 captured it well. In Psalm 67, if you guys would make your way up, in Psalm 67, the psalmist uses the words from this benediction as the call to worship. He says this, he says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, that your saving power among all generations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let the people praise you." So we individually, we bear the name of Jesus. Of all people, we are to be those who are awestruck by his adoration, by his blessing to us, that it would be obvious that we have a new name, we have a new identity, that we are his. That's individually. But then we're to be his people. The testimony of his children individually and corporately, making clear, the psalmist says, his saving power. Look at not at us, look at what God has done in us and through us as a people and also individually. A shining light for all the world to see and to know of his blessing, the psalmist says. Truly the Lord blesses and adores us. My mind this last week went back to the spring of 1975. Seniors graduating from Moody Bible Institute, my roommate and I had this kind of significant and defining conversation. So, what do you think's next for you? I have no idea. I asked my roommate, so what's next for you? I have no idea. Maybe we'll just keep going to school. We really had no clear path for our lives. We had been challenged, we had been encouraged throughout biblical training, but the bottom line is we didn't know what was next. Fast forward to today, both of us have been involved in our entire lives in pastoral ministry since that day. So here we are, together. The scripture asking us to remain focused and resolute in the assured blessing of this anticipatory benediction, applicable for us, applicable for all of us, and reminding ourselves often of the Lord's passion for each of us. His desire is to bless us.